We thank our brother for a memorable welcome. It's good to be here, and it's good to renew fellowship with our brother. Our brother wanted to know what text he preached on years ago in Scarborough. I can hardly remember the one I preached on this morning in Cookstown. But it's good to be here tonight, so it is. Here in Inniskillen. And it's good to be here among God's people and hear those lovely hymns and enjoy fellowship with God's people. First of all, before doing anything tonight, we'll bring a short report on the work in Bridlington. So, first of all, where is Bridlington? Maybe you're thinking that. Well, Bridlington is in the east coast of Yorkshire, 20 miles south of Scarborough, and the population is 37,000. And in the summer months, we get many visitors coming into the town. The beginning of the work in Bridlington, the work started in the 1990s, when there was a group of people who were dissatisfied with the churches they were members of. One large Church of England in the centre of the town introduced the Toronto Blessing, and that caused some to leave. The church has been various ministers, the Reverend Paul Fitton, the Reverend Karen Salt, and they took up the work in August in 2010, having previously been in a church in the West Midlands. The church at Bridlington are a small but zealous bond. When everyone is present, there's about 16 or 18 of us. And last year we brought in 5 new members. And one of them, Robert, is a gypsy, one of the travelling people. And he came into our church one night during the second hymn. And then after the second hymn, I did a reading. And he did that there and walked out. And I thought, what's going on? But in England, you don't worry about them things. It happens all the time. But after the service, we went outside and he was in a van with his 2 children. And he hadn't brought them in. But he said he'd be back. And he started coming fairly regular. And then he stopped travelling. He got himself a flat in Bridlington. And he seemed to come every week. And then last week, last October, he became a member of the church. And he's very zealous for the Lord. And he'd do anything for him, so he would. He's a godly young man. And then, we think also, too, on a Thursday morning, we seek to be faithful to the Lord, not just in the church services, but also in the wider community. On Thursday mornings, we hold an outreach coffee morning. And the idea is that we bring unsaved people in, give them a cup of coffee and things, and talk to them about the Lord and the things of God. And many hundreds of people have been reached in that way. Also on a Saturday morning, one Saturday morning a month, we have a prayer meeting for revival when some of us gather to seek the Lord. In the summer months, we have an outreach in the marketplaces where we distribute gospel tracts and invitations to the church. And when we have special services, like the harvest and Christmas, we go out in the doors giving out invitations to the services. And in these services, we always get some visitors. So we do. And the choral service last year, we had 18 unsaved people in. And that was made. But you never see them again. But at least they came in and they heard the gospel. At other times, in special efforts, when the Olympic torch came through the town and came down past our church, we opened the church for people to to have free tea and coffee and cold drinks, and we talked to him about the Lord, and we gave out 500 tracts that day. One of the people who were in that day told us he was one of the first soldiers into Londonderry in 1969. So it's good to talk to him about the Lord. At the beginning of this year, we started a small Sunday school, and it is very small. The most we have had one day was 5 children, and the usual numbers are 2. And that man, Robert, he brings his children along each week. There's one other little lad would like to come. His granny comes to the church. His parents aren't saved, so they take him away for the day on Sunday. And that's typical of England. You can do anything on Sunday. Go to the football, visit their granny, do everything. But they don't go to church and things like that. No, I don't. So, pray for the work in Bridlington. Pray for the Sunday services, that more people will come in to hear the gospel. With the last few months, there's been a Scottish lady coming in and out. She came down here a few years ago from Scotland to Yorkshire, and she took her ruptured lung and advised her not to go back to Scotland. So she lives, and she's from a Presbyterian background, and she comes out when she can, when she's feeling well. I visit her in her home. Pray also for an increase in membership, for young families to join and be involved in the work. And pray for the Sunday school for an increase in numbers. And pray most of all for England, because England is a dark, godless land. In the 1980s, Hillis Fleming came to our church in Barnbridge, and he spoke about the work in England. And he said, England needs men, but it needs men who are called. If you're not called, stay away, for you'll never stick it. And that's very true. It's very difficult. I laboured for the Lord for about 4 years in the south of Ireland, and the people may not have liked me or agreed with me, but they knew something about God, and they had a fear of God. That doesn't happen in England. In England, they have no time for God, no time for church, and churches are closing regular. So they are. It's a dark land. Now, the Baptist pastor in the town, he's only been there from 2011, but he's retiring at the end of July. He's quite a good man, so he is, and him and I meet up some time for coffee. A representative from the Baptist Union came to talk to the people about their next pastor, and the lady told them, you can have a man pastor, you can have a lady pastor, or you can have a gay pastor. You could hardly credit that. And that's what was recommended, to preach in the gospel of Christ. We live in dark days. The Church of England, in the town, one lady was talking to a member of the Church of England, and she said she read in the church magazine of a young man in prison who got saved, and he was gay, and he was confused. He didn't know what to do. So she wrote and told him not to worry. That's the way God made him. And they published that in the church magazine. And we live in dark days too. I thank God tonight, when God saved me, he led me into the work and the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church. There's other good people there in the land who take a stand too. So do remember Britain as a whole, for it is a dark place. Our brother Wesley Irwin was telling us one time a man came to his church from the Methodist in Scotland. And he left the Methodist because his minister was a woman and she was in a civil partnership with another woman. So, you may think things are dark in Ulster. It's the promised land compared to England. So it is. So do remember us and do pray for us. And pray for all the churches, all the folks in England, that God will bless and God will use it mighty. There's some, we're small, and there's some even smaller than us. But we all seek to be faithful. Now we turn now to God's word and to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. Ending our reading there, shall we bow for a brief word in prayer? O God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, tonight for this meeting. We do thank you, Lord, for the hymns we have sang. We do thank you, Lord, for the report and the work. And we come now to speak about what the Lord has done for us. And help us, Lord, to speak well of Jesus. Because the Lord has indeed blessed us and led us and guided us and has done great things for us. And the end is not yet, and the best is yet to be. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost and the power of Pentecost for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Our text tonight is found in that verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, from whereof we are glad. And that's my testimony tonight, to what the Lord has done for me. Because I can look back in my life and I can say, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The first great thing the Lord did for me was he give me a godly mother. I was born into a home with a godly mother. I'm the youngest of a family of four. I'm the baby. So I am. I had two brothers. They were born before the Second World War. And then my father went off to the war. And then when he came home, the sister was born. And then last of all, me. Well, my father was away at the war, my mother got saved during meetings in the Baptist church just down the road. And that made a great difference in our family. Now, I don't remember much about my mother because I was 7 when she went to be with the Lord. But indeed, I do remember she was saved and she told us if anything happened to her, she would be with Christ. She was going to be with Jesus. And in 1957, on the 10th of July, she went to be with Christ. She'd been in the hospital. She went into the hospital. She had ruptured, and she went in for an operation. And she also had asthma. and they put her under an anaesthetic, and she never came round. I came down the stairs that morning, you can remember, and there was a lot of people in the house. And that was strange. My mother lay in a coma for 6 weeks, and people were coming in and out all the time. But my sister came to me, and she says, "Mommy's dead. Mommy's in heaven." Now, we knew if Mommy died, she would be in heaven. Not because she was my mommy or a good mommy, but because she knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the age of 7, I lost my mother. 2 years after that, my eldest brother came home one night and said he had got saved. He got saved in the meetings in the Baptist. We were sent along to Sunday school and to church. We went to the Presbyterian church. And we went to the Presbyterian Sunday school in the morning and the church after that. And then in the afternoon, we went to the Baptist or the Brethren Sunday school or somewhere like that. And I remember the Baptist most of all. And we had an old Sunday school teacher there, Mr. French. He'd been teaching Sunday school for about 50 years. He taught my father, and he was called William. He taught my brothers, and one of them was called William. So when I came along, he just called me William. He was a bit confused. And some weeks he didn't have much for you. But he used to love to tell you how he got saved. And he used to say, "No matter what happens in life, boys, meet me in heaven. That's all I want." Well, he's a good man. And then also we were sent along to various children's meetings during the week and things like that. But having a godly mother and going to Sunday school and to children's meetings don't save. And when I was left school at 15, I wasn't saved. And by that time, I didn't want to be saved. Quite frankly, a bit of a headman, so I was. And I'd done anything for a dare. And I left school, and I got a job in a shoe factory in Bonbridge. Now, if I wanted to forget God, God did not forget about me. And my brother got concerned about me. And he came after me. And there was meetings started in the town called the Evangelical Fellowship. They're run mostly by Baptists. And they're in this hall after church. And he asked me to go. And I didn't want to go. But I didn't want to offend my brother. So I went and I decided I'll go early. And if he's not at the meeting point where we agreed to meet, I'll clear off. But the mother, how early you went, he was standing waiting on you. And he brought us up into the meeting. And I sat there, a wee hard sinner. And the people were coming in, nice, smiling, contented-looking people with their Bibles. And I was saying to myself, they're not enjoying themselves like me. I'm having great fun. I'm really miserable-like, but that was what I was telling myself. And then going out of the meeting, my brother would say, "Did you enjoy the meeting?" "Nope." "Do you like to be saved?" "No." And coming down the steps, sometimes I'd lit a cigarette just to annoy him. And then one day I told him to go away and leave me alone. I wasn't going back to any more of his meetings. But he prayed for me. And where I worked in the factory, nobody was saved. So I was moved into another department. And a lot of men were saved. And some of them were the men who held their meetings. And I tell you now, brother, they were far from God. They did not believe in going to church with an empty car. And they went round the factory all week looking for people to bring. And this man said to me, "I know you'll be one of these Sunday nights. You'll be in Lurgan Baptist Church to hear Willie Mullen. Because I'm a Catholic and they're even looking at me to go." And I said, "They've no hope. And one day I was standing walking, a big hand came down my shoulder, and I looked up, this big fellow said to me, "Where are you going on Sunday night?" And he said, "That's good. You're coming here, Pastor Mullen." And I remember going to hear Willie Mullen. And then there was another group of people, three Presbyterians, and they witnessed to me too, and took me to meetings and things like that. And not only did they tell me about Christ, they also told me about the apostasy, about the ecumenical movement, and things like that. And I was reading the Protestant Telegraph then, and I got my eyes open about these things. And I thought to myself, if I ever got saved, I would be a free Presbyterian. So I went on, I never thought I would be saved, because I always thought I couldn't keep it. I enjoyed it. But this time, of course, I was deeply involved in the world. And first of all, we went to the dances. Before that, we went to the pub. And then it ended up, you didn't even go to the dance. You just sat in the pub. They got blind drunk. And most nights in the week, I was down in the pub drinking. So I was. But then in October 1973, I was asked to go to Tondraghee Free Presbyterian Church to hear Dr. Paisley. It was opening mission of a new church building. So I said I would go. And I remember that night I was standing down the town in the corner waiting on my friend coming to bring me. And across the street was the pub. It was a Thursday night. And I said to myself, "You'll be in there tomorrow night, McComb." And a little thought came to me, "Well, what if you got saved tonight? You wouldn't have to go in there." And I shrugged my shoulders at that, because I didn't think the day would come when I could pass a pub. That's how bad it was. My friend came, Noel Barry, they called him. He took me over to Tondraghee. Dr. Paisley was preaching. And he said, "If you get saved tonight, the things you love now you hate, and the things you hate now you love, God will make a new man out of you." And that's something that never occurred to me. I thought if I got saved, I could keep it for a week or two and then go back to my old ways, and everybody would be laughing. That night in the appeal, I put my hand up and waited behind. And the Reverend Alan Kearns was there. He was helping with the mission. And he talked to him and I said, "I don't think I can keep this." He says, "You won't. But God's not asking you to keep it. He'll do the keeping. When you were a child, you put your hand in your father's hand and he took you across the road. You didn't take him across the road." And I said, "God would take you and keep you all your life." And I found that true. And that night I was saved by the grace of God. The 4th of October, 1973. And I was great, and I went home that night to tell everybody. But everybody was in bed. So I went to bed, and the next morning I got up. I was full of doubts and fears. The old devil was in the room. And he said to me, "You know, this is Friday. And this is booze night. How are you going to tell your mates you're saved? And are you saved?" Oh, I didn't know where I was. And I went to work and never said anyone in the house. I said to the fellow who took me, "Did you tell anybody I was saved?" He says, "No, that's your job." So I stand and work. And one of my brothers came round. And he says, "Where are you going tonight?" I said, "I'm going to Tondraghee." "Oh," he said, "whereabouts?" "God, you used to go over there to drink." "I'm going to a gospel mission." "Oh, on a Friday night? You'll be getting good living." Says, "I know, Billy. I got saved last night. And you could have knocked him down with a feather. And he run away. And the next thing, this other fella came round. a fellow called Norman Murhead, and he was brought to the Baptist. And he says, "What's this I hear about you, man?" I said, "I've got saved." And he shook hands with me. And then the word got out. My Combs got saved. And some laughed at me. Some gave me the weekend. But I didn't care. My sins were forgiven. I had a home in heaven. I went home that day at dinner time. I said to my father, "I have something to tell you." Oh, he said, "Now what have you done?" Because the police had been to the door. He says, "I've got saved last night." "Oh, you'll go to church." I said, "I will. But I'm not going back to the Presbyterian church." "Where are you going?" he says. "So I'm going to a Free Presbyterian church." And I was looking around, expecting a row. Because my father could understand people being saved. But he couldn't really understand them leaving their church. But he just looked at me. And he says, "As long as you don't go back to any more pubs, I don't care where you go." And standing in our kitchen that morning, that day, I realized the Lord just didn't save you. He went with you. He went before you. And he undertook for you. That night I was back in Tonsigee at the mission. The next morning I woke up without a hangover. Went down to a wee Christian bookshop and bought myself a Bible. The next day I was in Bonbridge Free Presbyterian Church. It wasn't a big fancy building. It was a back room of an orange hall. But as soon as I sat down, I knew I was in the right place, among the right people. And Wednesday night, I was at the prayer meeting. Friday night, the young people's. And the Lord blessed me. And the Lord has led me on. And he's done great things for me. As I say, he took me to Whitfield College. I left school at 15. I hadn't much brains when I was there. I wasted my time. But he took me to Whitfield College twice. He had to do that to get it into my head. But the Lord would put me into pulpits. I often think where I would have been tonight if I hadn't been saved. I could have ended up in the maze. I would have ended up an alcoholic and been in hell. But the Lord one night reached down and saved me and done great things for me. And oh, beloved, tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, I recommend my Savior. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I never regret getting saved. I've done many a thing in my life I have regretted. But I never regret getting saved. And you get saved tonight too. And you won't regret it either. So you won't. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful friend. He'll forgive your sins. He'll make you a new creature in Christ. He'll make you an heir and a joint heir with Christ. He'll give you the peace of God in your heart. And he'll give you, at the end of it all, a home in heaven. Oh, beloved, tonight, you'll never regret getting saved. But if you don't get saved, you will regret it. Maybe not too much in your life, but you regret it in death, and you regret it in eternity. But it'll be too late. You come tonight, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Queen of Sheba said when she met Solomon, "The half was never told me." And that's what it is about being saved. The half was never told you. The end's not yet, friend. The best is yet to be. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're on your way to heaven? May God bless his word to your heart. Amen. Amen.